Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Thursday, August 4th. 2022. You like this? I asked my wife, I said, you know, Thursday, one of my favorite, if not my favorite day to broadcast with Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and gen6.com. I said, you got to get me up to speed with Steve because, I mean, I love his shirts. I love the casual nature of his shirts, the serendipitous nature. So I wanted to be like my older brother, Steve, and this is what she brought forth to the studio today. So I'm happy to be in sync with Steve Quayle just for today. It's Casual Thursday, Hawaiian Casual Thursday, I think. I don't know. Is this Hawaiian? I guess maybe. All right. So, but I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Again, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com, the guy behind the expeditions and the fabulous information, which I believe we are providing the people who registered to the conference, which, by the way, the PDF should be out today. I kept saying, you know, today, and then I switched to Friday, but it should be out today, folks. Hang in there. And then I'm going to do a special report how kind of how Steve really recognized the fact that what Russ was dealing with and Russ's team were dealing with was in fact the exact same thing that you're seeing from the expedition. So how that all kind of tied together. So that'll be out too. So it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. And we appreciate that. But I want to get into something just very briefly before I bring Steve on that I talked about yesterday. And you've got people, Darren Beatty, who's a reporter, a fantastic reporter. I got to tell you, talking about this, the Revolver News founder, by the way, if you don't know who he is, Darren Beatty, constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes, who really has his finger in the pulse of all things legal in the legal community. I've got a lot of respect for the guy. Mike Cernovich, you got Jack Posobiec, a friend of mine, a friend of the program, and others warning that the Texas defamation trial, which is really not a defamation trial, it's the punitive damages aspect of the trial because he was already found liable. If this was a criminal case, it would be guilty, but he was already found liable in this case for damages. Why? Because the judge said that he didn't provide discovery materials. All right. Very quickly, just to summarize what's going on, because you need to know this, because all of this fits together. The court has denied Alex Jones a defense. He was found liable for failing to provide discovery materials, specifically videos about from his show that he did, that he posted on YouTube about his discussion about Sandy Hook, which was a very, very small percentage of his broadcasting. Well, what Google and YouTube did was they banned him and they expunged all of the material from the platform. So here's a judge, the court saying, okay, we need that material. YouTube took it down. Alex Jones goes to YouTube and says, look, if you've got it, I need it. It's being subpoenaed. I've got to turn it over. YouTube says, not going to happen. So the court says to Alex Jones, hey, you didn't provide those videos. So you are now essentially, if this was criminal, you're guilty. But since it's criminal or since it's civil, now you are liable. So you're guilty basically already. So you cannot bring up any defense whatsoever in this phase of this show trial. So again, as such, Alex Jones is found liable by default. And the proceedings that you're seeing are about damages only. And here's the show trial part of this. Alex Jones is prohibited from mounting any kind of defense. He is not permitted by the judge to answer questions. He's not permitted to say he's not guilty. He's not permitted to cite the First Amendment. He is not permitted to say anything. In fact, watch this. It's about 60 seconds. This will give you an idea of this. This kangaroo court makes kangaroo courts look bad. That's how bad this is. Watch this from, I think this was yesterday when Alex was on the stand. Here it is.
You may not say to this jury that you complied with discovery. That is not true. You may not say it again. You may not tell this jury that you are bankrupt. That is also not true. You're already under oath to tell the truth. You've already violated that oath twice today in just those two examples. It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify. Yet here I am. You must tell the truth while you testify. This is not your show. Do you understand what I have said?
Yes, I believe what I said was true. So I don't.
Yes, knew this
you
now.
Believe everything you say is true, but it isn't. Your beliefs do not make something true. That is what we're doing here. Just because you claim to think something is true does not make it true. It does not protect you. It is not allowed.
Okay. Did you get all of that? There are three elements here. You cannot, two elements actually. One A is you cannot say that you complied with discovery. Well, he did. But the stuff that they wanted from that YouTube had, they wouldn't give it to him. And so he didn't have it. So he didn't have it to give. So what he said was true. He complied with discovery, but he's not allowed to say that. And the second thing he said when asked a question yesterday was about his finances. And he said, I'm bankrupt. And the judge says, you're lying. He said, no, I'm not. I filed for bankruptcy. She said, well, that doesn't mean you're bankrupt. Okay, that's part one and two. Think about that for a second. The second thing is this. Did you hear what she said? Just because you believe what you're saying is true doesn't make it true. So he's answering a question to the best of his belief and knowledge. But that's not good enough. It's not good enough. The judge is saying, no, just because you're answering, let me fill in the blanks here. Just because you're answering a question to the best of your belief does not make it true. What in the hell? Look, I've been in many municipal courts, state courts, and federal courts. Trials, I don't know how many trials. A lot. I have never in my entire life, I'm not an attorney, I'm an investigator, I'm a witness. I provide witness testimony. I have never, ever, ever in my life ever seen anything like this in 30 plus years of testifying. Ever. Ever. It's ridiculous, and it's worse. Go to clip two, if you don't mind, very quickly. Now watch it. This is the new twist. This is the new twist now. In case you didn't hear, Alex Jones was asked for all of his texts. By the way, Alex Jones does not do, many people don't know this, he doesn't do email. No email whatsoever. You could send him email. He doesn't even have an email address, but you can send InfoWars email. He does not read email. He doesn't do email. I can guarantee you this. He does not. He has nothing to do with email whatsoever. God bless that man. His life is a lot easier that way. Okay, so what happened yesterday? His attorneys, and this happens more than you, folks, let me tell you something. This happens more than you can believe in the court system. I've seen it happen. Steve Quayle has seen this happen, where an attorney will accidentally send a confidential attorney-client privilege document to the wrong person. Okay. When that happens, it is legally, morally, and ethically the responsibility of the recipient of the opposing attorney, opposing counsel, not to read it, not to share it, not to post it on Twitter, Instagram, or to share it with the January 6th committee, but to give it back. We understand this was received. It was sent in error. We apologize. You know, here it is. We're playing by the rules. Alex Jones' attorneys sent the contents of his cell phone, not just the text, not the phone record, the contents of his cell phone that he gave his attorneys. But listen to this. It contained 2 years worth of data. The default judgment took place in November 2021. There are 9 months worth of text messages and content that has nothing to do with this trial. Nothing whatsoever. That's theft by keeping that. Why is this important? What happened? What happened over the last couple of years? January 6th happened. January 6th. So the last couple of years, those text messages, guess who wants them? Guess who? Oh, come on. Yeah, you're right. The January 6th committee. More about that in a moment. Play, if you don't mind, play this, and then we'll bring Steve right on here.
So you did get my text messages. And it said you didn't. Nice trick.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Oh. Indeed. You didn't give this text message to me. You don't know where this came from. Do you know where I got this?
No.
Mr. Jones, did you know that 12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protected in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook. Did you know that?
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment. I gave them my phone.
Mr. Jones, you need to answer the question.
No, did you know this happened?
No, I didn't know this happened. But I mean, I told you I gave them the phone over.
Just to answer you said, the question.
You said in your deposition, you searched your phone. You said you pulled down the text, did the search function for Sandy Hook. That's what you said, Mr. Jones, correct?
And I had several different phones with this number, but I did, yeah. Well, of course, I mean, that's why you got it.
No, Mr. Jones, that's not why I have it.
My lawyer sent it to you, but I'm hiding it. Okay.
Mr. Jones, please just answer questions. There's no question. Mr. Bankston also only asked questions.
Sure. Mr. Jones, in discovery, you were asked, do you have Sandy Hook text messages on your phone? And you said no, correct? You said that under oath, Mr. Jones, didn't you?
I mean, if I was mistaken, but you got the messages right there.
You know what perjury is, right? I just want to make sure you know before we go any further. You know what
right,
it is.
That's prejudicial. I don't know why objections aren't flying. You can cut that. Okay, if I was there right now, it would be an justice for all moment. And believe me, I had one of those in one courtroom in New York State, and it did happen. But so you saw the way he was being handled by the judge. You saw that maniacal laugh by the plaintiff's attorney. And then, of course, the contaminating the jury with that. You know what perjury is, right, Mr. Jones? And the court of public opinion. So if you think that this is all about Alex Jones, and if you're clapping, if you're happy clappy about this, then God help your soul. May God help you. May God help your soul, because you're next. I guarantee it. With me is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Before I go, if I go further, Steve, I'm going to blow a gasket. How you doing, my friend? Nope, you're muted.
Interrupt. Sorry. On a scale of 1 to 10, that shirt is a 10, okay, in my opinion. Perfect. So,
all right.
Thumbs up. I seem tame today.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I'm just it's the way I happen. But the bottom line is, in the whole situation with Alex Jones, People have got to understand the truth is on trial. The false narrative is being promoted. There is a sentence being carried out. There is no judgment by the jury. And the jury is already prejudicially biased. Yep. Because they want some of the jurors are on one of them specifically. Can we say that anybody who said the election was stolen is guilty of the same thing as Alex Jones? And ladies and gentlemen, Alex is the tip of the spear. All alternative news has to be crushed, has to be silenced, and will be unless we recognize this as a pivotal moment for the First Amendment. And the Doug, I'm astonished at the lack of even, quote, conservative news commentators. God bless the ones that are speaking up and speaking out. And I want to pray for Alex Jones right now. I want every believing Christian to understand the next thing. Do you believe in the Bible? Yes, I do. Are you aware it's a hate piece of literature? Yes, I do. And, you know, or not, excuse me, they will make it a hate piece of literature. What you're seeing is the laying out of the persecution of truth, ultimately leading to Christianity, to the Bible, and to any semblance of historic, real, or empirical truth. So it's important for people to understand how critical this is. And, you know, I see a lot of nameless cowards and jerks, and I'd like to really unload, but, you know, I'm trying to be more, focused, that don't understand what's at stake here. And in essence, what we're watching is the execution of truth. They might as well just move, a Supreme Court into, a shack someplace, and just say that doesn't count anymore. And this is all coming about because the rule of law was forsaken during the whole January 6th proceedings prior, after the election, after the, you know, let's say this, the anomalies of the election. And you want to talk about perjury, and then we're going to pray. 51 of the top intelligence agencies, law enforcement, I'm talking not the agencies, but those who were the heads of agencies, every single one of them bore false witness to the authenticity of the Russian dossier, the Steele dossier, which was fake. Not one of those people has been called on the carpet for perjury. Yet Alex, who can document everything, and I can ditto the fact, I have never carried on an email conversation with Alex through an email, nor have I ever had a phone call with him outside of the going on a show once a year, whatever I used to do. So he's telling the truth, but this is a setup, and this is a view to a kill. And so what I want people to understand is this: the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious folk could not stand the presence of Jesus Christ because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And they could not have the truth challenging their false religious narrative. The false religious narrative right now is the globalist, the one world government, the one world religion, the one world economy. We're talking about the world of the Antichrist, the beast system. That is a sham. I would think every constitutional attorney that is absolutely watching this should be up in arms. And I have no respect. If they claim to be Christians and they're sitting silent over this, then let them deal with the God they claim to serve, because there is no place in God's kingdom for cowards. The Bible declares that God rules by justice and mercy. And what people have got to understand is what's going on to Alex is just the beginning. It's going to go like dominoes unless we stop it. And I believe God is the God of miracles. I'm not talking about turning the country around. I'm not even talking about that. But I'm talking about exposing the falsehood of false and non-just measures, non-just justice, and there is no mercy. So, Doug, I just want to lead everybody in prayer who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who believes in the power of agreement, who believes the Bible that says wherever two or more agree on earth as touching anything on earth, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. Make no apologies for that. This is a critical crisis moment. Alex is the tip of the spear, but they're going for the entire truth army, an army of truth tellers. Non-official mouthpiece is going to be safe. They're going to be silenced. In essence, ladies and gentlemen, we We stand back and do nothing. And we can do everything through prayer, those who have faith. If you don't have faith, don't agree with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you bringing this entire situation of unjust weights and measures before you. And God, I come against the lying spirits and cancel every assignment of hell, of the fallen angels and their Luciferian direct orders to destroy Alex and to silence him. Lord, this isn't about a man. It's about truth. And God, the war on truth is ultimately leading to your people who the enemy, the evil ones, can't stand any historic truth or biblical truth. And God, we bind our hearts in agreement and ask that you would intervene, Lord, as the scripture says, shall not the judge of the whole earth, Almighty God, shall not you do that which is right and just. Lord, in Jesus' name, so many people think there's a political solution to this political pollution. There isn't. There is no political solution. You can't vote yourself. We can't vote ourselves. Lord, humanity can't vote ourselves out of this sinking ship. But God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would arise and let your enemies be scattered. And the greatest enemy in all of the realm of spiritual warfare is the kingdom of lies against the kingdom of God, the person of Jesus versus the ultimate liar, Lucifer. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would intervene in this situation, that you give a miracle, a verifiable, demonstrable miracle, God, because your word says, shall not your young men be willing in the day of thy power? And Father, people need to understand that prayer does work. And I'm talking about the concerted prayer of those who are righteous through the blood of Jesus. And we pray in precatory prayer that God, the evil spirits behind all those bearing false witness, we pray the evil spirits on the phone calls to the authorities. We pray that every single form of supernatural evil plots, plans, schemes, and snares to destroy Alex would be, God, brought to naught, but brought out in the open for all to see. Father, in Jesus' name, silence in itself in the face of this murderous attempt at injustice is cooperating with it. And again, Lord, I ask that those men and women who are attorneys, that are men and women of faith that claim to be, that you will put it in their heart, that they're standing for you and they're standing for truth. Alex is the figurehead, but there's a greater factor going on, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, you open the eyes of your people to tell them, look, my people, you're destroyed for lack of knowledge. And Father, we pray today in Jesus' name that you would give, Lord, your answer to this entire false setting, Lord. The same thing with January 6th, Lord, that you would expose it for what it is. God, the false hearings, the false witnesses, Lord, the shielding of those responsible for it to bring it to pass. God, in Jesus' name, we loose the spirit of truth. We loose the spirit of conviction. We loose the warring angels to stand against this battle that is against truth and freedom, God. And Father, in Jesus' name, they who will not stand for freedom now will be subjected to the greatest tyranny in the history of the world, so much so that your word states that if you didn't shorten the days for the elect, no one who is of a human flesh, human genomes would be left. And Father, this is the groundwork. We either stand and fight now, and we fight for truth for whatever time you're going to give the truth to proceed before it's totally silenced and the night comes and no man can work. God, the night has descended. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that God, you would absolutely expose to any evil, any subterfuge, any payoffs in Alex's legal team. I don't know why I'm praying that. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But Lord, all duplicity in all camps will be exposed in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you are the truth, the way, and the life, that Lord, there is no political solution to a spiritual problem called sin and rebellion. And God, these very same people that want to butcher the truth, that want to kill the truth tellers, they're the same ones that declared war on you, Lord. And again, I say, God, take them in their craftiness, take them in their wickedness, take them in their deceit, and take them down in the mighty name of Jesus, those who seek to destroy the truth and the truth tellers. And it's not dependent on whose truth. It's dependent on your foundation, truth, mercy, and justice. Yet, God, those three things have fled away in the night in America. There is none outside of that which people are willing to stand and war in prayer against, intercessory, imprecatory prayer. And Lord, you said in the name of Jesus, you are angry with the wicked all the day long. And Lord, this is a wicked thing. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke the self-righteousness and the fake piety of those who would try and side in a sinister way with Lucifer against all truth because of the conviction it brings to them and their own lives. In Jesus' name, Lord, I claim your protection over this entire, Lord, realm of all news, media, people, personalities, and those who are in the mainstream that will stand up for Alex and say, this is the bigger issue. Bless them, Lord. Those who remain silent, I ask that you expose them for who really pays them, Lord. And that's for you to do, God. But in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to pray as a people who believe in the miraculous power of Jesus Christ for Alex. And Lord, we ask that you deliver him from the battle that is against him because it's supernaturally evil and Alex is not the target. The truth and the truth tellers are. He's just the most visible target at the moment. And we commit these things into Jesus' name. So be it, Lord. And it has been written in your word, and it shall be brought forth by the Spirit of the living God in Jesus' name. Yeah. You know, Doug, we cannot concede to evil. I'm totally against the idea, and I'm on record as saying this, that the midterms will make any difference. I'm totally against that there's a political solution to a spiritual problem. Yet the Republicans have, to my knowledge, by the way, never taken on the whole attitude that the Democrats and then the Republicans without spines, rhinos without spinos, have gone along with it. This is a war against God. But am I clear enough to, and if you can say it better, and you can say so many things better than I can, that the bottom, the mainstream target is going to turn to Christians and the Bible, who anybody who claims the word of God is going to be vilified as a hate monger. And this is where it's leading, because again, the basis is true. And what Alex has been accused of, there's no judicial process whatsoever being carried out. This is a sentencing. This is a edict. This is basically the king's decree and not the king of glory. This is a total false manifestation of any form of former Jewish jurisprudence. And I'm not having a slip of the tongue there. I'm just having a jurisprudence is a hard word because there's no justice, there's no mercy. And anybody who thinks that the courts are going to be a place for them to run to, they're a place to run from. Go ahead, sir.
You know, Steve, you said so much there, folks. Our justice system is broken. We have, last night, honestly, I told my wife, I suggested to Steve, basically, I'm barely hanging on. Okay. Mentally hanging on. It's difficult when you look at things that are taking place and you're seeing the injustice reign and people celebrating injustice. It doesn't make much sense, especially if they would really just take a moment and stop relishing in someone else's misery. Stop the, what do they call that? Schadenfreude. And I mispronounced that German word, but if they would stop that and understand that they're coming for all of us. And this is illustrative of what's taking place. Folks, it will be, like you said, Steve, the Bible will become hate speech. I love your statement too earlier. There's no political solution to this political pollution. I like that. But look, they're coming for all of us. We're not going to be able to say, well, the election, something was funny there, or the Kennedy assassination, something funny, or 9/11, something funny there, or whatever. we are going to be told what the truth is according to them. And if we accept that, then shame on us. And I'm not going to accept it as long as I live. And I can't accept that. Only the truth can be found only in one place, and that's in the God of the Christian Bible, and in His teachings and in His Word. And I believe that. And we have to, as Christians, we have to gather together, stand firm, and stand against this travesty, all of the travesties that we're seeing today.
Well, I think also, Doug, excuse me, that it's important because praying in the night at different times, and my schedule I used to think was kind of a curse where I don't sleep through the night, but then I realized that instead of a curse, it's a blessing, because when I wake up, I can pray for different things on my heart. And we won't share publicly yet because it's not time, but I said something to Doug that the Lord had put on my heart that concerning him, concerning me, concerning the length of time we have to share, just due to everything that's going on in our personal lives and our professional lives. And he said, and we won't talk about, you know, the subject matter, but he said, Steve, that's the same thing my wife told me earlier today. Is that true?
That's 100% true. It blew my mind, you know, Steve, when you said that, it blew my mind. It rocked me because and folks, think about this. You're having a conversation with a friend about something, and then something, you know, you switch topics, and something is said that was said by your spouse earlier in the day, totally unexpected, totally off script, if you will. But it hit home. It really hit home. So what Steve is saying, I think that, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but, it's a confirmation of sorts that I think that we all can feel. And I think it's that the feeling is through prayer and through the knowledge imparted upon us through God. It's a godly, spiritual, thing that I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think what you're looking, Doug, you're looking for the word. It's a spiritual, the Bible in 1 Corinthians calls it a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge.
Right.
It's also confirmation. I want to share something. Nobody should go looking for words from other people until they've gone to God and gotten a word from the Lord. You know, I get emails and I don't answer them. And I'm almost now to the point, almost, where I won't answer any more emails because I just don't have the time or energy. But the point that I want people to understand is this. Jesus was very clear, the night is coming when no man can work. The one challenge the one task that God gave us all is to preach the gospel and to do it until he came back. And the gospel is not, teleclowns. It is not the three-ring circus. Channel 1, Channel 2, and Channel 3 of Christian TV, it's not entertainment tonight. It's about preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a firm believer. We do everything we can do, everything we're called to do, and we challenge evil, but in the power of God's might, because there's too much time has fled away since 9/11, and you and I met right at that time. Look at how long God gave this nation to repent. And now, just in the things that are going on, I'm watching out of, the corner of my right eye. We're seeing the death and the destruction going on in the Ukraine, but we're also seeing China firing rockets, ICBMs, over the island, the nation of Taiwan, landing in Japan. That's the first time that's happened. So what people have got to understand is that whatever Nancy Pelosi, and I believe she's acting as president pro tem, I believe that the entire goal of the Luciferians worldwide working in each other's backyard and even behind the scenes with each other is to bring about a global conflagration, what we would call World War III, to bring on the person known as the Antichrist, as the beast of Revelation. And I think that people don't understand that this war has to happen. You can't, in essence, I wish everybody would just have a group hug. It isn't going to happen. Kumbaya went away. Kumbaya went away. And people have got to recognize this is serious stuff that's going on in Taiwan. It's not just the theater of the absurd, but it's all the chess pieces. I don't play chess. I just kind of know the game theory of it, but it's all the chess pieces being moved in on the multidimensional chessboard, waiting for the checkmate point. And the checkmate is when the bombs fly, the missiles fly, everything goes pretty much wacky. So when that day comes, there will be no more time to preach in the context of, will we have an internet? No. And with everything coming to a complete halt, and it will, especially with trucking, especially with the airline industry. I said it 2 years ago, the airline industry is going to come to a complete halt. Said it actually 28 years ago. The thing is that the trucking industry and the trains will quit running. So what we're watching is the orchestrated checkmate game for hell and the coming head of hell for, in my opinion, 42 months, not 7 years. If we're starting there right now and we're seeing the horrible plagues coming as if a monkey pox, monkey poop, that's not the big thing. The big thing are going to be the Ebola and the hemorrhagic fevers and now the polios and the combo viruses and the gain of function viruses that is deadly as everything is. They can make it deadlier. The end game. Kudos to Alex for that name of video. And by the way, I want people to understand, many of the things people are just arriving at seeing now, the foundations were laid for that 20 years ago by him. And I'm not his cheerleader, but I am in the same field he's in, as Doug is, as anybody who's a truth teller on the internet or whatever. And we're going to be shut down and shut up, ladies and gentlemen. And at that point, there's nobody to turn to except if we're trying to get you. I'm trying. My whole position is this. I am not a pacifist. I believe with all my heart and might that you resist evil. I believe that in essence, you have the right to self-defense. You have the right to defend your family. Women, you have the right not to be raped, pillaged, and plundered. I believe that everybody who's in the United States of America who understood what the Constitution was and understands what the Bill of Rights is, even though the powers that want to kill you say those you don't have the right to have an AR-15 or assault rifle. In essence, Doug, we've moved from constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights, to the privilege to exist if we follow their lead. And that's why resistance is in prayer. Obviously, people tried peaceful assembly, which was a setup. You see, how the devil moves, he creates a problem, just like the Hegelian dialectic. He creates a problem, he provides a solution, and he gets a wacky lackey, and that's my new term for your show today, a wacky lackey, someone that doesn't think through the ramifications. Could the whole situation on January 6th have been a setup? Absolutely. You and I talked about it, and I think there was a picture of Gina Haspel, the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, DCIA, Director of Central Intelligence, with a Trump MAGA hat on and a little American flag. She was in the foreground. It was screen left, for those of you who are camera people. The Congress building was in the background. And when I saw that picture, I said, of course, I knew it was a setup, but that was the picture worth a million words. Because remember, President Trump fired her. So to people that are saying, oh, now we've got the Q movement coming back. Are you kidding me? We have the sovereigns coming back, declaring their sovereignty. Are you kidding me? I got news for you. Those political thoughts and aspirations don't stop drones. Those political well-wishers, and the truth has been out there, Doug, and I would say this, in the court of public opinion, the evil ones have presented a better case, not that it's true, but a more effective case to take away all the rights and the blessings of those constitutional guarantees and Bill of Rights, and the people who think that somehow it still exists. Can you say that any clearer than I do?
No, but this reminds me, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, on this program, we were talking about this very issue. And if you remember back, Steve, you were a big mouthpiece for exposure of the MIAC document back in 2008. And that made a big deal about domestic terrorists. The problem is domestic terrorists, not Islamic terrorists at that time, but domestic terrorists, meaning people who believe in a free country. Now, yesterday, we talked about the FBI whistleblower leaks per Project Veritas, domestic terrorism symbols guide that was published by the FBI. It's still classified, or it's for official use only, that is, on militia violent extremists that cite Ashley Babbitt as a MVE, militia violent extremist martyr, and also included symbols. And of course, the same symbols, many of the same symbols are from 2008 are included in this. And there was a reference to the Christian element of this. So essentially what I'm saying is I'm trying to say that we are seeing this incremental antagonism against Christian conservatives, against truth, against people who are standing up for what is truth, the exposure of the Capitol incident that resulted in the death of four people, including Ashley Babbitt. And you merely talk about that, and you are now labeled a most violent or a militia violent extremist. So we're watching this progression, this incremental progression, Stephen, and I think that it's a natural course of trajectory where we are all going to be in that, what would you call it, in that in the crosshairs of the deep state or the party of Davos or the people who want to run this country and are running this country and the world. Oh, you're muted, brother.
I got you. Bite my tongue to use the name Kamala Harris, but she's on record as saying they keep lists and they want 125 million people dead. Mm. Well, you know, and that's just a, if you will, a furtherance of the Weather Underground. When Larry Graithwell penetrated the Weather Underground, then, I think they decided the population back in the Weather Underground days was way less than it is in the United States now. But again, Doug, here's the thing. Extinction protocols, genocide are playing out before our eyes, and people can't seem to wake up and see what it is. Now we're allowing our youngest toddlers to be vaccinated. Not that everyone's allowing it, but they're pushing for it. The same batch of demonic bastard liars, and that's the nicest way I can call it. And when I use the word bastard, I want people to understand. Some people get so offended by that. That is what God himself called the genetic offspring of fallen angels, which one-third of the angels that were in heaven that weren't evil now rebelled against God and have become evil, that one-third of the fallen angels now are controlling the outcome of Lucifer's last 42 months of rule and reign on earth. People can argue, is it starting, or are they still going to be around when it's starting? Let me tell you something. If all of us know someone who's died of COVID, you and I, obviously, Russ, others, Russ Shelley, his wife, Mr. C, known as Al Cuppet, I mean, and so many other people who went to their home in heaven if they were believers. And look, there's so much discrepancy in the way that biblically claimant Christians approach these end times as if it's just some flippant,
it's just, you know, I'll just trust God, and they won't trust God for the minimal things that somehow that instantly when we're going into the worst time in history, you know, the ravens are going to provide meat for them. Oh, by the way, you know, forget the ravens. Bill Gates is going to give you some goo, some galactic goo made out of who knows what in the stew. And we see all of these events and people still can't sink them and link them because they still don't think them as a plot, plan, scheme, and snare that's come upon the earth to take away those who should and could be, let's say, this productive in standing against evil. People who don't stand against evil are part of the evil. That was what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you know. What, silence in the face of evil is evil itself? So, and by the way, he was murdered for his stand for Jesus Christ by the Nazis. So we're at this inflection point. I'm calling this whole showcase trial, and it's not a trial. This is a star chamber-like event in order to destroy the most visible alternative newsman on the planet. And it's so wrong on so many levels. And I'll tell you this, this is just my own personal opinion. Anybody that claims to be a Christian attorney that I know, and I'm sure that they can say whatever they want about me, but who will not stand up for this and fight against it by filing briefs, by absolutely flooding, demanding, an order of redress or whatever the legal terms are, I'm not an attorney. But to watch this happen to Alex is, ladies and gentlemen, this is like sitting back and watching the false witnesses in any showcase trial. You cannot defend yourself. That's the basis of understanding of what used to be constitutional law, innocent until proven guilty. We're coming to the point where it will be legal, Doug, mark my words, not constitutionally, but in their world, to execute and then say reason for it after the fact. He was an enemy of the state. They'll probably even call it MIAC execution warrant, MEW. And if there weren't so many meow men, they couldn't get away with MIAC execution warrants. So people want people, they say, why don't you guys talk radio? What do you guys do? What do you guys? We've warned you. Where was the military who took their oaths to defend this nation against all enemies, foreign, domestic, when the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff contacted the Chinese when the president of the United States was thinking about taking a preemptive action against China? That's treason. But yet he's still the head of the JCS, Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he shows up in Taiwan. I would think that people would get the feeling very soon that the United States is big stick, can't defend itself from Russian weapons. And this is not propaganda. I've spent my entire radio and podcasting when that became a thing on warning people about these times that would be upon us, that the nation that has civil defense wins if they strike first with their nuclear weapons. I just posted a story, the 20 major cities that are the prime targets. But again, people have got to understand that the majority of America's military is no longer in the United States. The majority of our aircraft, naval assets, and all of our anti-tank missiles, which went to Ukraine, 51,000 of them. And by the way, I know people who are in that part of the world that send me messages. And when I say send me messages, tell me what the going market price is for XYZ. And here's the joke. And here's where the American citizens just can't get it through their heads. The majority of weapons that were sent to the Ukraine, outside the most visible ones, went out the back door. Even Russia was buying U.S. weapons from the Ukrainian traders to reverse engineer them and take them out of service, like the HIMARS missile systems, etc. So, you know, here's the joke. There's nobody left at home to defend the home. And while there's no one left to defend the home who swore an oath to protect the Constitution and the Republic against all enemies, foreign, domestic, there's nobody here to do it because they just are kicking out 60,000 National Guardsmen, 40,000 National Guards men and women, and 20,000 reservists for not taking the vax. In retrospect, history will record no nation ever before us, and there certainly won't be any after us, has so cooperated with the enemy. The Trojan horse would be the only thing historically I could liken it to. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts. Beware of Chinese giving us the test kits for a bioweapon that they admit. Shen Ping, that's a real guy, admitted that with the bioweapon, they destroyed the United States. How about all the DNA, ladies and gentlemen? All of the DNA databanks have been breached, whether it's 23andMe and what, Ancestry.com, every single one of them, all the genetic testing places, they're all hacked. And then if that wasn't enough, all of the test results that were, how should I say this, generated through the Chinese testing and the swabs, and when they used to have to be sent out, and even when they became domiciled, the test results in the United States, all that stuff was grabbed. But the biggest, I would say this, the biggest affront and confrontation to logic I've ever seen was the testing of all the Olympian athletes multiple times daily in Beijing, in China, with the Olympics. And ladies and gentlemen, that represented the finest genetics in the world and people who excelled in sports. Doug, there's no escaping what's been happening. There's no escaping the even testimony of Congress that, yes, people are generating bioweapons. Yes, they're generating specific strains, individual strains. And I remember writing about that in Genetic Armageddon. It's not to say I told you so, but we have reached the point of Genetic Armageddon. I'm not going to print any more books. I'm not going to write any more books. The bottom line is that we are at that point now where Armageddon, the total war for the human genome, is at the crisis point where if God doesn't act, and I don't know how and when, there would be no human flesh or anything that God created left alive. And that's the devil's ultimate goal, that everything God created in the book of Genesis and saw that it was good, all the animals, the birds, everything, the beautiful skies, the glorious water, the wonderful clouds, not chemtrails. The bottom line is everything the devil is destroying. He's going to, if he's uncontested, and he's going to succeed marvelously. The Bible's, he's not going to ultimately succeed, but it is going to look absolutely beyond anything that anyone can even put into a context of understanding. Because how can you put a context, or how can you give things a position of understanding or placement of understanding when there's never been anything like it, nor will be again? And except the days be shortened by God the Father for the elect's sake, and the elect are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, the exclusivity of the cross and of the Christian is absolutely a declaration of war against anything and everyone else, if that's how they see it, as opposed to an invitation to come to the God of creation. So everybody is going to team up on the truth, and it must be destroyed at all costs.
You know, Steve, as you were talking, I got this feeling in my heart just to say that you and I, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, we're fighting for our offspring, our daughters and sons, our grandchildren. We're fighting. That's the reason I'm fighting anyway, because I want them to have what I experienced as a young person, the joy of being able to take your dog out for a walk, or to play in the playground, or to play ball with a friend or whatever, and to gather with at summer camp or a church gathering or whatever it might be. Okay, and that's being taken away from our future generations while we allow this, and we can't. I personally can't allow this to happen. And, you know, I look at your website, and folks, go to stevequayle.com. Please do this. And I did this yesterday again. You mentioned Genetic Armageddon. When the information came out recently about the genetic bioweapon of China and how they're able now, and they were able to do this before, but now it's coming out where they're able to focus a weapon on DNA. You wrote about that in Genetic Armageddon. And I find it very interesting, too, to compare that to the list of dead scientists. And everyone said, oh, that's just a bunch of hooey, you know. But in fact, go to stevequayle.com and check out the dead scientist list and understand their positions at the time. So I don't want to overspeak this, but you know, right now, Steve, we are fighting for our lives, our very existence, and the existence of our offspring, of our progeny. And if we don't fight, who will? And one other thing you mentioned too, I really want to know, where in the world are the Christian attorneys, lawyers? What are you doing? I mean, seriously, what are you doing? Are you just trying to make your boat payment or your house payment? I mean, what? I get so frustrated when no one comes to the aid of someone else. And so folks, Steve, I mean, those are my thoughts, as scattered as they were, but I've got to tell you something. The only hope that I can put in this situation is that God will intervene and be merciful. And, you know, that's the only thing I can say. I'm to you.
Yeah. I can ditto what you say. I echo what you say. I'm just going to adjust my frame a little bit. What is life to most people? You know, we're a generation, Doug, that had the good old days. And by the way, and I mean not to make this, an acronym of any lessening of God, but the good old days was when God was behind the good, the G, the old, and the D days. And those were the God days. I watched the nation, and as long as I've been, I'm 71 as of, 2 days ago. Thank you, by the way, for everybody who sent me birthday wishes. It was just a blessing, and it really encouraged me, and there were literally thousands of them. So we cannot return to the good old days, because the foundations have been destroyed. And I can't up King Solomon in any way, and no one even put myself in that statement to say, he said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And what we're watching is the last, if you will, last pylon of the pier that used to stand for freedom. We're teetering now. And the waves of iniquity are coming against God and his word. And we are going to go through times, and only Jesus can take us through times. Look, I wish I had, and I don't, just FYI, if I had the arsenal that, look at Zelensky, look at the Ukrainians. By the way, I am not a fan of that entire fake war. I absolutely believe it was a setup from the globalists. I believe that there was attempts and real attempts made at diplomacy that failed. I believe provoking Russia and China could only have a supernaturally evil origin to get everybody to kill everybody off. So show me where, you know, more men and more firepower has helped. You cannot come against a superior fighting force without a supernatural edge. There's no place, by the way, in the Old Testament or New Testament where those who were followers of the living God were ever able to deliver themselves without it being God's power that delivered them. Does that make sense?
Perfectly. Yes.
Not one. And woe unto the woe unto he who leans on the arm of flesh. Well, you just had whatever percentage of Christendom, we talked about this before, leaning on the arm of flesh, getting a jab. But where is all of the faith that the body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? We had three of the biggest ministries in the United States and actually in the world telling everybody, go take the jab. And one of them went so far as to say Jesus would take the injection. Are you kidding me?
Really?
You know, I mean, that will go down, in my opinion, as the stupidest statement in eternity.
Do you get, but don't you feel that with that, they're mocking Christianity? Because I see memes like that, and every time I see it, it offends me. I mean, it's offensive. Okay.
It does offend me, and it should offend everybody who's a Christian. And let me put this into historic context. Right now, everybody's looking at a single event to show that we're in the end times in Christendom, and that is the rebuilding of the temple, the ashes of the red heifer, the temple sacrifice, and all that stuff. I hope Christians understand that's just one of 500 things. But it's taken their eyes off Jesus. We're in the same position in modern Christendom as the early disciples who are walking with Jesus, and they walk by the temple and are going, boy, Lord, look at this cool giant building. Look at the magnificence of the architecture, and not recognizing who it was they were walking with. And Jesus then gives them, saying, I tell you this, there's not going to be one stone of what you think is so marvelous left unturned, and that history proves to have come to pass. Christians are looking to externals and not to the living God himself, in my opinion, because if they were, we wouldn't have blinked at abortion. We wouldn't blink at the transmutilation. And by the way, my new word is transmutilance, okay? I don't care if people like it or not, but the transmutilation of humanity, we wouldn't look at the inability to even define reality. The metaverse is perverse. The universe is not the metaverse. Ultimate reality is objective reality. We watched real science thrown out the window. We watched real conversation. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't take credit for being the present behind the vaccine and not take responsibility for what the results negative were. And the only defense that I believe that he has, President Trump, is he was lied to by his advisors and being sold the ultimate panacea for the COVID. And again, there's no understanding of bioweapons or biowarfare. Now, Doug, we've come full circle. You know, literally, I'm told that the number of worldwide deaths, according, and these are top secret figures, are COVID. I don't possess anything that is classified, but I've been told audibly that the figures of the amount of people dead worldwide are a minimum 20 times higher minimum than what is admitted to.
Oh, yeah, the VAERS report. And you know, it's interesting. How can people deny? Well, I know how, but people look at the deaths of six doctors in the Toronto, Greater Toronto Health System.
Yes.
The otherwise healthy individuals, they die. The common factor, when you look at deaths, you have to look at common factors in the aggregate. And of course, the common factor is the shot and the booster and the booster and the booster. Yet no one wants to admit that. And they're all turning their heads saying, oh, that, you know, this person had this and this person had that. Well, maybe so. But really, let's have an honest conversation about this. What we're seeing when you said come full circle, what we started out with was the denial of any kind of honest conversation. We cannot have an honest conversation about the shots or anything, including and especially the things you've been reporting on, which, by the way, as well, folks, speaking of honest conversations, you want to know about what's taking place today and what took place thousands of years ago and in the days of Noah, pre-Adamic, other civilizations, and what that has to do today, go ahead and make sure you go to stevequayle.com or Doug, HagmanReport.com. Click on the banner to the mini conference and there's register and watch the videos. And today, tomorrow, soon, within the next 24 hours, download the PDF, look at the PDF, and you'll be amazed. Okay. Because this information will be a part of the information that won't be available to people anymore. Look what they've done to the Smithsonian Institution. This institution, they've buried the truth. Steve Quayle has pointed this out. When you listened or when you, you can watch the video of this, about what the Smithsonian has done, what they have and what they're not permitting people to see they're rewriting history. And so coming full circle, kind of, I wanted to wrap it up with that and remind people that there's still time. Get this. And it's called The Egyptian and Alien Connections in the Americas. It's a mini conference. It's a fundraiser. And this allows Steve to continue his work. It allows this platform to continue as long as God allows us to continue. And you know what? It's informational download like I've never seen before. And I'm very proud to be a part of this with Steve Quayl, stevequayl.com, gen6.com, and all of his intellectual material. But this one really, to me, is the magnum opus of all intellectual products. And that's the current fundraiser right there on the screen. So please sign up for that. And you'll be supporting us, and you'll be supporting your knowledge about real history. So Steve, thank you for that, by the way. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And thank you to all of those of our subscribers, our viewers, those who have followed our different platforms through the years, because one of the reasons this is so important, Doug, and it's actually critical, is if I were to tell you that the biggest revelation that came out of this entire expedition to date was the amount of genetic references portrayed by the double helix, and we've talked about it, the translations of some of these, but also the only eyewitness testimony. People have written about the Smithsonian cover-up. We document it in three different cases that are a matter of history, but the only eyewitness to what was really there in the Smithsonian, one of their 10 warehouses, each one of their warehouses, 1,500,000 square feet. I'm not talking about Washington, D.C. I'm talking about just normal looking buildings from the outside, look like an industrial building, but they're underneath them. And these things were built, you know, decades ago. But the most elaborate cover up and cover over of history. And people say, why will they do that? Because they're terrified of the Genesis 6 narrative in the Old Testament, which simply states that the fallen angels, 200 of them, came to earth. It doesn't say that in Genesis 6 narrative. The Genesis 6 narrative said there were giants in those days. And after those days, when the sons of God saw that the daughters of earth were fair and came unto them and took unto them wives, that both before the flood and after the flood. Now, why this is also relevant is we're at the times of Noah. We're at the days of, excuse me, we are at the days of Noah, just as Jesus said would be the prelude to the time period of a second coming, or just as in the days of Noah. The mind-boggling genetic manipulation, corruption of fallen angels, the interpretation of the hidden angel language, which the different occult groups know, which was used, excuse me again, to help, Russ and your team and the teams to understand what was going on. And ladies and gentlemen, this all happened in such a short period of time, but it took 3 years. It took $1 million hard money and volunteered multi-million dollars of people that are PhDs and multiple PhDs. And because their lives are so at risk, they have to stay in the background. So the reason that we've held off on the PDF until it'll either go up tonight or tomorrow, it's doubled in size. It was going to be 120 pages. Now it's 240 pages. It was going to have 80 images. Now it's got 160 images. And you'll be able to follow it from start to finish with what I believe is the most complete and composite overview of the hidden history to bring us right to today. So that's how we can understand that he who controls the past controls the future, and he who controls the present release of whatever facts they release will control the narrative in the future. And that's where we're at, Doug. 100%. And so I want to thank you and thank all of our listeners. And I'm sorry, I haven't got a coughing spell, so I'm going to have to say farewell, but keep Alex in your prayers. Pray imprecatory prayer. Look up imprecatory prayer. Come against those who want to destroy the people of God. Get into a Queen Esther mode. Understand this, that God loves his creation. I'm only concerned that his people don't love his creation enough to fight for our little ones, to fight for our families, as in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. We need to understand the war is against humanity. And if you're a human being that hasn't been genetically altered, you're the target. And God bless you, Doug. Thank you so much for today. And just, again, we need to stand like we've never stood, but we need to be proactive in imprecatory prayer. Amen. Imprecatory prayer is you focus on the enemy and you ask God to take them out and deal with them.
All right. Amen. Steve, if I could sing, I would sing happy birthday to you, but I'll save you that. But I'm glad you had a good birthday and many, many more. I wish you.
Thank you, Doug. And I love your shirt. And you know, that's a birthday present extraordinaire. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. Folks, that was Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. You know, the man was so far ahead of his time. I was just looking at his books from Genesis 6, Giants to Genetic Armageddon to where we are today. It's just, it's an amazing thing to see. And what an amazing time to be alive, right? It really is an amazing time to be alive. Speaking of that, speaking of singing, I'm going to sing. Remember that song from 1968, Bobby Goldsboro, that sad song, Honey, I Miss You. Remember that? Remember? Eric the Tech, you remember that? Come on. You remember Honey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that as a young person. And I was actually looking for vinyl, okay? And did you know they have vinyl stores, online vinyl stores, where you can purchase, you know, old vinyl? We call them records and such, you know, they're coming back. That's the thing. It was Honey from Bobby Goldsboro. It was the number one song back in 1968. And the reason I say that is because today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey. That's right. What's your favorite thing to shop online for? Is it the vinyl? Because they've got them. Is it easy to find deals, which you're looking for? Is it easy to find deals and coupon codes and stuff? Do you really want to search for coupon codes? Well, I got a solution for you. Right now, it's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool, online shopping tool, that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your card. It supports over 30,000 stores online, even to buy Honey, I Miss You from Bobby Goldsboro. I'll save you the song. From tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands. And look at my shirt. See, this was actually a product. I'm wearing a product of a discounted, my savings using Honey. joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's right. My wife has saved several dollars on this shirt. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Absolutely. And if she was here, she'd tell you the same thing. So imagine you're shopping on your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down. All you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds, but a bing, but a bang, slam, bam. All these things happen in the background, which you don't see. And there, if Honey finds a working coupon for you, watch the price drop. Watch the prices drop. And again, they've saved us so much money on food delivery services to various things in our studio. And it's so great. And again, this shirt, yes. And you know what? The good thing about it is Honey is easy to use. You can add Honey to your iPhone. Just enable it on Safari, and you can find savings on the go. So here's what you have to do. As I sing Bobby Goldsboro, Honey, right? That's going to be stuck in your head now, isn't it? Here's what you have to do. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. I'd never recommend something I don't use myself. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. All right. I want to just, again, go hit a couple or hit one thing here. Again, we've been talking about this for the last couple of days. With respect to the Alex Jones trial, or the show trial is what I'll call it. you might say, well, enough. Okay, enough of that. I get that. Enough. But here's the problem that I don't think many people see coming. You know that illicitly obtained information from the phone? Okay. Who do you think is looking for that? That's right. I told you this, the January 6th committee looking to get that. Do you think they're going to get it? Absolutely. Now, you may say, well, wait a second. If there wasn't anything incriminating, why do you care? I've been in enough courtrooms, seen enough to see things, innocuous things, being used in a manner that were not intended. In other words, things that would appear to be, or that were innocuous by themselves and actually intended for something else to be attributed to something nefarious. What I am telling you is this. What you are seeing take place in the civil arena right now is being morphed, evolved, pushed into the criminal. And you don't have to trust me when I tell you this. I mean, I've seen this. I've seen it happen. I've been a part of it in terms of the litigation and adjudication of cases. But I've seen things go from a position of civil liability into a criminal charges. And this has a chilling effect. This will have a chilling effect. You know, it wasn't, I think back in 2013, 2014, it was 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago now, 10 years, I guess, where, where my website, HomelandSecurityUS.com, was taken off of GoDaddy. GoDaddy sent me a notice telling me I had 48 hours to remove the content from GoDaddy, find another host. This was on a Friday, by the way. Find another host where they were going to just expunge, wipe out, erase all of the data that was on this website. Stan Deo at that time helped me out a lot because he had the resources with respect to the working with data packets and such. But the fact of the matter is this. This is how we were one of the first to get kicked off of GoDaddy, okay? And you may say, well, why did you get kicked off? Well, they said we violated their terms of service. As a matter of fact, their wording was the content was not consistent with their company policy. Okay, so, but what was on there? It was discussing the threat of terrorism. At that time, it was both Islamic terrorism as well as in general terrorism and the morphing into domestic terrorism. We began hitting that pretty hard. So that was a decade plus ago. And from that point forward, then you saw what in 2016, you saw Barack Hussein Obama talking about fake news. Now we see the evolution of fake news. And then you see this redefinition of all terms, including what is known as a vaccine, including even the definition of definition. That's right. This is where we're at. This is absolutely nuts how this is working, how this is playing out. So having said all of that, what you're seeing today, to wrap this up in the remaining, 12 minutes I have, and please stay with me for this next 12 minutes because I believe it's important for us to take a look at this and really come to some sort of conclusion as well as a plan of action. Because what are we going to do about this? We can conclude we're getting fired upon. And I think the conclusion would be accurate. The conclusion that we are being targeted by the deep state, the party of Davos, And even the people who don't really think necessarily that they are doing what is that they're doing what they're doing, that this is what they're doing. You know, you've got people, I think, who are detached from the reality of their actions. So there's that, but you also have this the situation where, what are you going to do about it? All right. Now, we try to change the hearts and minds of individuals, specifically with respect to the hearts and minds. We're talking about coming at things from a Christian perspective. But the facts, showing the facts, it is becoming increasingly, and I'm going to ask you this, is it not becoming increasingly difficult with your friends, your family members, your coworkers, to present them with a series of facts, a series of again, facts that they'll look at and develop their own belief system that is contrary to what you're seeing? Sometimes, I don't know if I made sense with that, but sometimes you think, okay, wait a second, did I miss something? What, am I missing something? Or are they as deluded, so deluded? Or are they the ones who are deluded? And I think that the latter, right? I think we're seeing this resistance and reluctance to the truth. And that brings me to this most recent piece of information. We talked about Alex Jones. We talked about January 6th committee. I mentioned Darren Beatty in the context of the fact that he's sticking up for, you know, the truth behind the show trial in Texas. Today, he reported on Revolver.news that Revolver has definitive proof that the FBI is hiding critical footage of the January 6th pipe bomber. Now, this is at Revolver.news. This was released earlier today. And I've been waiting to really get into this, but I want to end with this. Writes Darren Beatty from Revolver.news, headline today, August 4, 2022, is this: an exclusive analysis by Revolver News can prove that the FBI is in possession. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Can prove that the FBI is in possession of, but has refused to release, security camera footage of the January 6th pipe bomber planting the pipe bomb at the DNC building at 7:52 p.m. on January 5. Now, this revelation, extraordinary revelation, should be immediately subject to congressional inquiry as to why the FBI has stonewalled the release of this footage. Kind of reminds you of the Pentagon, which we're not allowed to talk about, right? And I don't know, can we play that footage of the missing camera footage? I don't know if we can or not. I saw it earlier, and it's about 2 minutes in length, and it kind of walks through. There's no audio to this. Thank you, Eric the Tech. But it shows the individual. It shows the pipe bomb that's in the upper left corner. It shows the individual arriving at the DNC location. Shows the bench, the various benches, where the bomb was placed. But it clearly shows this individual. Now, you know that the FBI they've got the ability to enhance this footage. Now, looking at the footage, I'm looking at this. And I don't want to distract from people reading this. Excuse me. Missing from this footage, camera one would show the bomber on bench two. But the FBI has not turned over that particular footage. Why? And by the way, they were able to map out the path of this bomber, as you can see. So when you're looking at this, the stationary camera overlooking the DNC park benches, and folks, you can see this on your screen, from which the FBI released a clip back, this is back on March 9th of 2021, time-stamped at approximately 7:42 p.m. on the night of January 5, should have a clear, quote, money shot picture of the pipe bomber reaching into his bag, depositing the pipe bomb by the right bottom corner of the circled bench in the image which you are looking at. All the FBI needs to do is to show the same video camera footage from 10 minutes later. What are they hiding? What do they know? What do they know? Now, Revolver.News, they did this very extensive investigation, a simple Google Earth walkthrough. You would see all of this and more. The reason the FBI has been hiding this key camera footage for 18 months is really right now just a matter of speculation. But what is now beyond speculation, however, is that the FBI has dead on, dead nuts accurate, as we say, footage of the bomber planting the bomb at the DNC building. Now, there's a $100,000 reward out for the public asking for information leading to the bomber's arrest? But the FBI is refusing to share this specific money shot with the footage with the public. I would urge everyone to go to revolver.news, and it's going to be, I'll put the link at HagmanReport.com. You have to expand the box to get the link, or you can go to revolver.news. Take a look at this. What are they hiding besides everything? And to kind of go back to the beginning of the show, you won't be able to talk about stuff like this because you'll be prevented from doing so. You won't be able to question the official narrative, such as why didn't the FBI release all of the footage? No. You can find yourself in some civil soup, if you will. And that's what makes that Alex Jones case so incredibly important, as other cases as well. Just to wrap it up with that, this is a big deal, folks. Revolver.net, this is a big deal. And this shows you when a show trial the January 6th committee commission is. They don't want the truth. They're after this agenda of keeping Donald Trump, putting him in jail. That's what they want to do, as long as, in addition to his family. But they don't want the truth to be made known. Same thing with Alex Jones. You have to ask yourself with the latter, to what end, for example, is the court disallowing Alex Jones to state what he thinks about the case or the judge or the jury? You can't do that. Not allowed to do that. It's never been done before. To what extent, for example, will the court be complying with the whims of the January 6th committee? And by the way, if you think that January 6th committee is stopping at a certain point, you've got no idea. You've got no idea what's coming. I say that from a position of knowledge. You've got no idea what's coming. There will be people that will be targeted and are being targeted today. Names you know that will be harassed by this committee. And no one will be able to save them. I'm telling you, that's coming. It's already happening. but it's coming even in greater ferocity and velocity. It's coming. Patreon meeting this Sunday, folks. Mark your calendars. Join us in the Patreon meeting. We appreciate your support, and we can talk about whatever you'd like. It'll be a fun time to get together. That's Patreon this coming Sunday. Maybe I can talk Randy Taylor into joining me. I don't know. We'll see. That's Patreon this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Folks, appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you, Steve Quayle. Wish Steve Quayle a happy birthday. Send him an email. All right. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.